What is the difference in the mindset from general population to celebrity to professional athlete?
The ones at the top, the real stars, take it upon yourself to get better. Don't always look to blame somebody else for your lack of success or your outright failure. Some people you get around, they're just, everything is negative, and I get it, there are problems, whatever. Work hard, enjoy the people you're around, take care of your body, have some fun, loosen up when you can, and laugh.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Inside the Inspired. Today is an awesome day. Even though it's snowing pretty much on the entire East Coast, and I guess in Tennessee, we found a way to make the most of it by bringing in a one-of-a-kind, top-tier human professional with over 30 years of experience in professional sports, ranging from the NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB, the USA ski team, training professional celebrities, the Kardashians, Lindsey Vonn, J-Lo, you name it. This individual has seen it. I'm so psyched and humbled to introduce the legend himself, Mr. Gunnar Peterson. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. That's a hell of a lead-in, man. I might have to moonwalk right out of here on that note.
That was pretty cool. You could look at your career and be like, I do that. I've done that. I am that. And
it's just, it's time served, right? I put the time in, and that's where some people go, I want to do this. I go, okay, but you can't. I didn't do anything any of the things I did or was lucky enough to do. It's because I was there. It's because I put the time in. It's because I showed up every day. It comes down to showing up. That's what it comes down to, and being prepared.
Where'd you learn that lesson?
It was after college, I can tell you that. I missed too many classes in college. I went to Duke. And I missed too many classes in college, and I wasn't always as prepared as I should have been. And somewhere when I got out of that, I was like, wait a minute, if I was just a little more prepared and showed up more often, I would have done a lot better. But that's it. It's just showing up and being ready. Like, I write my workouts the night before. I go in. I don't guess on anything. I figured out a long time ago that if I knock my workout out early in the day, it's not looming overhead. I feel better all day. I'm better at executing demos for clients all day. So I just have a system. And it's funny, even last night, my four-year-old daughter, Monroe, was helping me pack my bag for the gym. And I said, put it in this order. I have 5 articles of clothing. I wear them every day. You know, obviously different ones. Thank you. But it goes, you know, the top thing, whether it's a long-sleeve sweatshirt, polo, whatever it is. And then under that, the pants, under that, the socks, under that, the t-shirt, under that, the underwear, and it goes on in reverse order. But it's so I don't have to think about it. It's a system, and I'm a big fan of the system.
Systematizing in general, I feel like, saves so much time.
Did you ever read that book, Atomic Habits, by James Clear?
I feel like I've read every other book on habits except that one. And great, I'm like book. Educated by the internet on that book.
Yeah. I can see that. I read, and as I was reading it, I was like, I spent more time nodding than I did turning the page. I'm like, yep. And it was just, he puts it in a very digestible, easy to put to use format. And I was like, yeah, this is it. He has one thing he calls it readying the room or preparing the room. So when you leave your TV room, your couch, wherever you sit and watch TV, fluff the pillows, put the remote back, clean the coasters up, clear the table, have ready. So the next time you walk in, the room is ready for you to do whatever it is you're doing. Don't leave it that way because you know you're going to go back to that way. Set it up so that it's dialed and it looks right. And I just thought, we do that all the time in any room of the house. When you leave it, leave it the way it was when you arrived. What's that? There's a Navy SEALs tagline they have, leave it better than you found it. Mm. And I think that's a great way to go through a lot of things.
Mark Magna, shout out to Mark, also has a very similar philosophy when it comes to like cleaning up the gym, making sure everything's nice, tidy, totally pristine. On that note, something that I talk about kind of often is this notion of delayed gratification. I think there's a big movement around it now. And part of it is that, like, you know, if you set out your clothes the night before, it saves you 15 minutes in the morning so you can go right to the gym. How do you recommend or maybe motivate or just guide somebody that if they're feeling unmotivated, don't want to go to the gym the next day, how can they gear themselves up to get into that headspace and go get the work in?
You know, I've had this talk with trainers a lot of times. They're like, I'm a motivator. I'm this. I don't see myself as that. I think if I'm a motivator, if I am motivating, it's just because they see what I do. I don't think it's any yarn I spit or any turn of phrase I use to hook them. And, you know, if you're working with somebody who has an NBA contract or somebody who has a massive salary coming in for a feature film, and they've decided that day that they're not working out, like, what trite little phrase do you think I'm going to use to that salary, that legacy didn't already provoke in them? What am I going to say? Come on, dude, you got to do this. Do this for your kids. Like, they're just going to look at me and, you know, I'm not that guy. Like, you got to want to do this. You have to want to do this. If you want to do it, what they can count on with me, if I'm the trainer, is they know that I'm going to be 100% ready. They know that I'll be there early. They know that I'll, you know, look, smell, present the same way. They know that the room is the same temperature. The music is good. There's like something consistent about it. And with so many transient things in life, you can count on the overall experience and the environment that you're going to enter into when we work out. So to me, that's the motivator. You know, it's there waiting for you, but you got to go get it.
I was talking. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like the restaurant before Postmates, right? Like, you know how bad you want that meal, but that restaurant, the only thing that used to deliver back in the day was pizza. So if you wanted that quality one, you had to go get it. And to me, that's it. I can't motivate you other than letting you know the quality is here. Come get it.
There is also this sentiment around discipline over motivation. Not discipline, you know, our routines, habits, rituals, the different behaviors that allow us to go and do the things that we do on a repetitive basis. I'm kind of the opposite. And just hear me out for a second. When it comes to motivation, I've learned that I believe that motivation is the roadmap for life. If I have a why, I know that I can bear any how. So when it comes to discipline, I find that it's almost secondary because it's the how. I have the right reasons in place. The motivation on a daily basis, it's fleeting, obviously. But I feel like when it comes to the level of athlete that you've worked with and the caliber of celebrity that you've worked with, barring that they have to maintain a certain level of fitness, is that there is a difference in the mindset. In your experience, what is the difference in the mindset from general population to celebrity to professional athlete?
The ones at the top, like the above title billing, the real stars, they're not late. You have direct access to them and they won't be denied. And it means on a snow day or a rain day, they still show up. It means that if they have an early set call, they're going to come in even earlier, or you're going to see them at lunch, or you're going to see them after they wrap. And with the athletes, it means if we have a late trip and, you know, we get in late, and then the next day there's a shoot around, and then there's meal and film, then they're going to find a way to squeeze in a lift either before shoot around or right after it. They're just not going to say, bro, it's, the schedule's too tight today. We can't, like, let's just skip it. Let's do it when we get to Orlando. I'm never going to hear that from my top guys ever. And that's pretty consistent, at least in my experience with all those people. The top ones, you know, before the shoot, they're going to get the workout in. Before the press day, they're going to get the workout in. Before the shirt off scene, they're going to get the workout in, because they know that that's all part of, not just part of the package, the physical that they're delivering, but that's part of what makes them them. And that's what allows them to push through and succeed. That's that build. I mean, literally, and more like from a fortitude standpoint, that's their strength.
Do you find that there's, I mean, you kind of identified a few common threads in that respect. And I was talking to Coach Mike Guevara, the other day. He's in Monaco right now training a player. And I asked him about the difference between an Olympic level mindset and a professional athlete level mindset. And his answer was about culture, similar to how you outlined. And I find it fascinating because you guys are meeting these high caliber individuals that and you're exposed to such a talent level and level of excellence on a daily basis. Do you find that exhausting? How do you maintain that type of endurance?
No, it's invigorating being around, because I look at it like I am or want to be or perceive myself to be that in my field. And now, because I'm older, I would say, You're trying to be in your field what I am in my field, versus the other way around was I'm trying to be in my field what you are in your field. When I was the younger guy training an older celeb, that's how I looked up to them and thought, I want to continue pushing for excellence in my field so that I can be regarded the way you are in your field. But now, because I'm older, I look at it and I go, you guys got to work this hard to be like I am. I'm already in. My story's written. Like, I'm doing this. I love doing this. And I just spoke to a young country artist yesterday, and he's like, he actually wrote at the end of his text, I just appreciate your willingness to take me on. And I said to my wife, what a nice guy, like, what great manners. And she's like, babe, he's getting to work with you. He's like 20 something. And I go, yeah, but he's like, his star is on the rise. He's going to be this monster guy in a year. And she said, you're already the monster guy. And I don't ever see it like that. I look at it like, you know, every day you're earning that reputation. Every day it's your first impression, because they can leave at any time. But, you know, that's a supportive wife, which is terrific. But at the same time, I think staying that way and being excited that he's excited is what keeps my product solid. I will deliver when he comes in next week for his first workout. I will have prepped that. I will have written the workout. I will have prepped the room, and he'll walk in and it'll hit him and he'll just be like, whoa, this is another level of training experience and service industry that I have not experienced. I got to get more of this, and he'll be back. And I already know that, but it doesn't mean I'll never phone it in, I guess is what I'm saying. Because I don't want to be the guy who phones it in. Like, you see some performers, whether it's athletes or entertainers, and sometimes some of their performances look a little like lackluster. They weren't feeling it that day, and I think you can't afford to do that. I can't. I don't want to be the guy who does that.
You mentioned something interesting about, you know, a client could leave any day. How have you managed your mindset and your focus in moments where things haven't gone your way? Whether it be, you know, I know you suffered an injury relatively recently. We could talk about mindset in recovering from an injury, but also in any form of failure in the gym. I mean, it's a great equalizer and teacher, right? Because you have to fail quickly in order to get stronger. But I'm curious, from your perspective, how have you handled failure in your life?
We just keep going. I mean, Apollo 11, failure's not an option. Like, it's just not an option. It's not a fail. You know, the Navy SEAL, Ray is, you know, and maybe this isn't his quote, but I learned it from Ray. It's not win or lose, it's win or learn. So I didn't lose. I learned. Okay. What did I do? Why didn't that guy come back? Why didn't I get that, you know, other deal with that company? Why didn't that person want to train here? Why didn't they want to take me on the road with them? Why did they train with me for 8 months and then they ended up taking another trainer on the road? Like, those little things. I don't know. I can't let it bother me. I just got to go, what can I do better? I tell my son all the time, so my little guy, sometimes we, you know, you'll see. I mean, I know you have a 5-month-old, but you'll see when you have a little older, you have these little come to Jesus talks and you're like, listen, man. And I see, and I always get down on his level because I never want to be the intimidating, bullying type father, but I can see his face and I'll say, you look scared. And he goes, I am scared. And I said, why? And he says, because you raised your voice. I said, okay, fair. That's fair. But you know, I'll never hit you. I'm not mean. I don't come at you like that. So instead of being scared, don't ever be scared of me. Just think, daddy raised his voice. What can I do better? Because I don't just raise it out of the blue. It doesn't come from nowhere. Let's back it up and see where it went up. Was it because I asked you 5 times to brush your teeth? Was it that? Was it the 5th one where I got a little loud? And he goes, yeah. I go, so what can you do better? And he said, I could do it when you said it the 4th time. I said, no, dude, you can do it when I said it the 1st time. And he goes, okay. So I just want to, you know, what can I do better? That's the mindset. What can I do? Don't be a victim. Oh, they left me because XYZ or so-and-so poached them or so-and-so undercut me. No, don't be a victim. What did you do? What could you have done better? Could you have lowered your price? Could you, you know, could you have added new equipment? Could you have, you know, worked a little harder on learning more things about recovery because they had told you the whole time they don't ever feel like they're recovering? Whatever it was, take it upon yourself to get better. Don't always look to blame somebody else for your lack of success or your outright failure. That's a victim. I don't know. That's a bullshit mindset. Sorry, but that's just what that is.
I agree more. I was speaking to a Michigan State Supreme Court judge the other day, and he's blind from birth. He's run over 20 marathons, an Ironman. Wow. And yeah, really inspiring individual. And he talked about how you don't have to get over it, but or you have to get over it, but you also have to get on with it and just keep moving forward to your point.
Get up and go. The other day, I felt like I did not feel great. And my son, when I got home, I goes, Daddy, are you sick? I said, something. He goes, how often do you get sick? And I said, once every 2 years, it lasts 2 days. And he goes, is this that time? I said, not if I can help it, pal. And I get up and I drive. My gym's about 17 minutes from the house. And I go in very early, no cars on the road, pitch black country roads. And all I think is when I'm in the car is, I'm so glad I had enough to get up and get in the car. Because I know if I did that, the rest is going to happen. It's just the get up and get in the car. Once you can do that, it's going to all come together, at least for me. It all comes together. It's not every day is like, you know, some painting, but every day comes together.
You touched on something there about how often you get sick. For selfish reasons, I'm going to ask you, how do you manage your immune system with all the output?
20 years ago, first of all, I used to always claim it's my Viking heritage. those are the people I come from. You know, it's the pillagers, it's the sail across and go into a village and just destroy it. And I'm not making light of that for those who are sensitive, but I look at it and go, we just don't get sick. My family, we just don't get sick. Get up, get over it. Years ago, I had a kid who shadowed me in LA, great kid, Rob Oliver. And he goes, how do you do it? What's the secret? What's the secret? What's the secret? I go, there's no secret, dude. He goes, you're seeing 10, 11, 12 people every day. You got 3 kids. This is before my 2 little ones. How do you do it? How do you do it? Finally, I pulled this one drawer open and I said, you see that? And he goes, the medicine? I go, yeah, what's in there? He goes, DayQuil, Tylenol, Aleve? I go, yep. I go, 2 of those every 5 hours, no more than 3 a day for 2 days. And I go, home at 6 o'clock and I go to sleep. He goes, that's garbage over-the-counter medicine. I go, which one of us missed the workout this week? That's that. You shouldn't put that garbage in your body. Okay, I shouldn't, maybe. I'm sure there's some things you put in your body that, you know, are suboptimal. If that is my, you know, if I'm going to do the occasional tequila, a Reese's peanut butter cup, and some DayQuil and Tylenol as needed, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think I'll give myself a hall pass on that. So that's it. But the key really, I mean, those aside, I usually come home and I say to my wife, babe, I got to shut it down. Something's not right. And I pound a ton of water. and I usually do a protein shake and I don't have a full meal and I go to bed at 6:30 and I try to get, sleep's everything. Sleep's been the thing I fought for, you know, 2.5 decades. I blew it off. I'm like, I can exist on 3-4 hours every night. I just want to answer every bell. I want to take every comer. I want to just anything that came my way. The answer was, yep, I can go. Yep. And that's how I did so many things that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been sleeping. I don't know. But I got married 10 years ago and my wife is like, your sleep sucks. I says, yeah, no kidding. But I've worked on it since then and it's a lot better. It's not perfect and it's a very conscious fight. So, but I know, and the results are tangible in from body composition to mood to patience to ability to avoid injury, illness. It's just sleep's the sleeper. It's the one people think, at least I did, that you can blow it off. So, and you can for a while, but eventually the check comes due.
When you work with clients, is there a particular training philosophy that you embody, or is it more customized based on the individual?
If you're talking about the programming is always based on the individual. It's based on what they want. It's based on what I see that they need. And it's based on where I think it's going to go after we get where they want it to go. You have to be looking at the second act. In terms of the presentation of the program, I'm not a good enough actor to be a chameleon. I'm who I am all the time across the board. I'm just the same. I got, there's so many ways to describe it. You could say, oh, it's funny and sarcastic, or you could say, oh, he's an asshole. Like I'm, but they all know I'm in their corner. So anything I say is coming from a place of team them, right? I'm on their team. It's not, you made me do these. I never made you do anything. I wrote this program for you and I suggested we do this in this sequence at this level of intensity for this duration. But I didn't make you do anything. You drove here. No one is armed. I just put it out there for you. So I don't do that. And if you do shitty reps, I'll say something like, oh, is it half rep Tuesday? I didn't get that memo. No problem. Let's just do halves. In that case, let's do 24 instead of the 12 I prescribed. And that'll get a laugh. And then they'll go into full reps. So it's little things like that. But that's just my personality. That's not me trying to be cute or snarky or so how I deliver the product is going to be the same with everyone. The product itself will vary based on their wants, desires, or what I see might be their needs.
Reputation is something that you obviously build through decades and decades. What do you attribute your success to?
A couple things on that one. And I talk to trainers about this. Answer every call, answer every text, answer every email. Even if it's you're about to go to bed, you're completely exhausted. Scroll down the bottom of your text, get to where the last one says yesterday, and everything above that, make sure you wrote back. Even if you didn't give them the full answer, just write something like, hey, missed this today, slammed all day, I'll hit you tomorrow. Take it on yourself. Make sure you hit them back so they don't go, dude, you didn't write me back. And you've responded, at least. They feel heard. Everyone can understand that you got a big day or you're tired. That's understandable. That's fair. You don't owe anybody anything, but I think it behooves you to respond to them in a timely manner. And I would say by the end of the day. I know some people, two people actually, they respond to their emails every Monday. And I just think, I can't imagine how many opportunities I would have missed had I done that. So that and be a person of your word. That's someone said to me the other day, you're such a straight shooter. And I go, I don't know any other way to be. Like, how is that not just a given? If I say I'm going to call you, I'm going to call you. If I call you back, I'm going to call you back. If I say we're meeting at 10, it's, I don't need reminders. I don't need little pings, little notice. I got it. I'm a grown up, you know, I would be there. Treat it like a first job interview. Treat it like a date you actually want to go on. Treat it like a flight you can't miss. Those are the things that if you look at them all like that, and that doesn't mean any kind of frenetic urgency. It means that I set a lot of alarms on my phone. So that helps with some of it. But if I say I'm going to call you at four, I'm going to call you at four. That's just easy to do. And when you get in that habit, you won't blow it off. And people gravitate towards that, especially in certain cities. And, you know, I was in LA for a long time, 35 years. There's a lot of flakiness in LA, and not in a way like they say that people are flaky, but a lot of times because everybody gets busy. Everybody has so many opportunities and so many things that they could do that sometimes they just don't get back to you. That's not a judgment against them. That doesn't mean they're bad people. Sometimes you just get overlooked, dude. You slip between the cracks, and that may be a reflection on you. That may be how they see you. That may be that the thing you were bringing up to them wasn't that important. But I try not to let that happen ever if I can. And I know I do. I know I miss some. And I'll say, sometimes I'll be, it happens a lot during my cardio, and I'll think, did I write that guy back? Oh my God. Maybe I just wrote it in my head and I'll scroll back and I'll go, oh, I wrote him. Okay. And other times I get there and it says, and I didn't write him. And I write back, so sorry. Thought I wrote this. Had the message in my head. Don't know why I didn't. My bad. Boom. You just disarm by taking the blame. So I think that's what you have to do to be someone that people continue to go to and rely. If they know you're reliable, they will rely on you.
Availability is the best ability, as they say.
Yeah, that's true.
So kind of on that note, I mean, you were like a strength coach for quite a while.
3 years.
It's a long time.
So these guys, I have friends in the league who've been in the league for 8, 10, 12, 15, 18, 20 years. And I just think, man, good for you. You are a warrior because the travel in that league is no joke. And I know baseball guys, longer seasons, but they also do those longer stints, right? Like they may go to a city for 3 or 4 days. In the NBA, you're in, play out. I mean, you may stay over in Miami or New York or LA or something, or in whoever the biggest star on the team's hometown, you might stay an extra day. But other than that, there's no moss growing, dude. You are moving. Somebody told me when I got in, they said, there are only game days, travel days. There are no days of the week. They said there are game days, travel days, and off days, and there are no off days. I was like, got it. And it lives up to that. Super fun, by the way. Unbelievable job, unbelievable opportunity. I got to work with just top people. The organization is, I mean, it shows from their success, but just from the top down, from Genie down, it's just top. And the players were all great. I had no problems with those guys. Love those guys.
What are some of the lessons that you feel you extracted in working with the Lakers?
This episode is brought to you by Slate Milk. Slate Milk is a protein chocolate drink that gives you all the necessary energy after you have finished a hard training session, or also serves as an awesome snack, whether it's hot or cold. I commute 2 hours a day to my job, and every single day after I train, I'm looking for a quick snack or post-workout drink that I don't have to spend time making. So I go into my fridge, I take out my Slate, and I hit the road as fast as I can and enjoy my drink on the way to work. That's the way that I personally like to enjoy it, because there's so many different flavors. So in the morning, the mocha flavor with the caffeine definitely hits. I can also recommend you check out their other flavors. It is a phenomenal brand. They are the number one partner of the UFC. You can actually go to their website, slatemilk.com, type in the code INSPIRED for 10% off your first order. So go ahead, type in the code INSPIRED at slatemilk.com to get 10% off your first order today. This episode is brought to you by ProMix. ProMix is an energy supplement brand that provides a whole plethora of different products, from protein cereal bars to protein shakes, probiotic, prebiotic, deep low products, along with electrolytes, and the list goes on. ProMix is the supplement that I go to for all of my health needs. It has been a game changer for me over the last few months. After the 1,000 pull-up challenge, my immune system was compromised in ways that were super uncomfortable. I kept getting sick, and I knew I needed to level up my game. I didn't place enough value on supplements, but I do now. I spent some time, I did my research, and ProMix is the brand that I decided to work with because my immune system is finally in check. So go check out ProMix.com and type in the code InsideTheInspired to get 20% off your first order today. That's right. Go to ProMix.com to get 20% off your first order today with the code InsideTheInspired.
Your body, I mean, I knew a lot of this because I was older when I started, but your body can take a lot more than you think it can take. You can pull into a hotel at 3:30 in the morning after, you know, these guys will play a game, will leave somewhere at 11:45 and land somewhere at 3, get to a hotel at 3:45. So they're not going to bed till 4:30. There's a optional shoot around at 10. There's a meal after that. First bus is at 3:15, tip off is 6:30. And you're like, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot. And just bang, bang, bang. And you see him do it. And then you see him on the court, you know, finishing dunks, crisp passes, high flying antics. You're like, the body, I've always said, is such an amazing thing. But at that level, what those guys can do, how they can push themselves. And you can say, well, it's youth, whatever. Really? Is it, were you like that when you were their age? I don't think so. It's not. It's because they're so honed and so trained, and they're disciplined, and their mindset is, I'm going to drop 25 points tonight. That's the mindset. And it's I find that invigorating to be around. I was always first bus, because I want to be there for shoot around. I want to watch these guys come in and watch them prepare and watch them build up and get their game face on. It's just great, great experience. Literally, from Jeannie Buss, Tim Harris, everybody in that organization made it super cool.
I feel like when you're around that type, I was asking questions about it earlier. You called it invigorating. I can imagine just even being in New York City, I'm around other athletes all the time, and I like to consider myself a relatively fit individual. I'll just give you a brief background. I've done a few different events where I've raised money, whether it's, you know, running 50 miles or doing 1,000 pull-ups and raising tens of thousands of dollars for different organizations. That endurance is very important. You get to meet other sides of yourself through training. It's a very big part of why I like to do it. And I'm curious in, you know, you have some very, I'll refer to them as, correct me if I'm wrong, I'll call them unconventional training methods. Every single day I see you posting with a different tool or piece of equipment that you're leveraging to either work your core or a different plane of direction. Is there an end goal for you when you're training? How do you go about your particular regimen?
I just heard, do you know who Mike O'Hearn is?
Yes, he's the bodybuilder.
Correct. I just heard a quote from him, and maybe it's not his quote, but I heard it from him, and I commented on it, and he wrote me back on the side of saying, and he said, die young as late as possible. And I thought, oh, I like that, because that is my goal. My goal, and I used to say it, especially to young dads, it's not about you. I talked to you about this before we started recording. It's not about you anymore, dude. Sorry. It's about your kids. It's about your wife. But the wife part aside, it is about her always. But for the kids, it's, do you want to be the dad on the sideline, you know, with the oxygen tank cheering you on? And if that's how you end up, then that's how you end up. But there's something you can do about it. But as long as you can control that, your health, I want to be the dad on the field. I want to be the guy wrestling with my kids. I want to be the guy throwing the ball with my kids, riding ATVs with my kid, playing soccer with my kids. I want to be that guy until I can't be that guy. And if that means, you know, you croak on the field, then that's what it means. But I don't want to tap out early because I didn't take care of myself. So my end goal is stay like this as long as I can. And like this is constantly shifting because, you know, you go, I want to be better. I tore my hamstring 3 months ago. Complete pilot error. I know what I did. I didn't stretch. I didn't warm up. First time in 40 days, I hadn't done anything physical. I've been training 40 days in a row. And these people said, let's play pickleball. I said, great, whatever, fine. And we got out there. Everybody's like, oh my God, a pickleball injury. Yeah, look, I didn't like plan it. We were hacking around and then these guys started chirping and talking a lot of trash. And one of them was an NBA player. The other guy was my trainer at my gym, Colin Shane, terrific dude, bodybuilder. And they were, both of those guys are 25, 30 years younger than me and the guy I was playing with. And I turned to the guy I was playing with. I said, I can't listen to this shit anymore. We need to bury them. And it started heating up and I wasn't prepared for the heating up. I hadn't prepped myself. So I got injured. That's super eye-opening for someone who relies on their body. Because by the way, the next day I had 5 clients. So what am I going to do? I was in the hospital. I was at Vanderbilt Hospital. Came out on crutches. I went to the gym on crutches and I go, look, let's not worry about it. How can you? I go, don't worry how I can. I can. And I prepped everything and did it. You just don't dwell on that stuff. So my goal is to not be injured and to be able to stay on the field, on the court, in the match as long as possible.
You kind of touched on your mindset and recovering from injury, but I am curious, how do you manage your headspace? I get the whole get on with it kind of thing, but like you said, you're someone who relies on their body. And I know when I'm sick or if I have an injury, I go crazy. I'm not fun to be around. So how do you manage it?
Oh, I'm a blast to be around. Ask my wife. Yeah, it was hard. The leg thing, the getting sick, to me, I move in and out of that pretty quickly because it's rare. But the getting injured, like this is the first real injury I can remember since having a back. I mean, I had a shoulder thing a couple of years ago, but having a back operation 24 years ago. Like, I just don't, because I stretch every day. I'm aware of my movements. I listen to my body. I pull back when this just caught me, and it was tough because I rely on my body, and I couldn't put any weight on my leg. I had pain. I couldn't put my sock on. I was crying. It was awful. And all I think is there are so many people who have it so much worse than I do. There's so many people every day. Look at our military. Look at the vets who come back injured. And those guys are doing, and girls are doing so much unbelievable stuff. I need to shut the fuck up and get after it. It's ridiculous. I'm a good torn hamstring, you little baby. And that's literally what I would tell myself. I know guys who've been blown up. I know guys who've lost limbs. That I couldn't even speak about my injury. It sounds so embarrassing. And so I just want to, anybody, how's your leg? I go, I'm fine. I'm good. Well, you're limping pretty bad. Yeah, I'm good. And you just don't talk about it. You just don't dwell on it. I'm not giving that any gas. No chance. So.
I've had an awesome time here today. I pose a question to all my guests that now I'm going to ask you. If the future version of yourself, assuming he's in the ideal spot 10 years from now, were to fly in and offer you some advice in order to get there, what do you think he would say to you?
Dude, you should have slept more. That's exactly what he would have said. Dude, you should have slept more. What are you doing? There's so many things, you know, people, who did I just talk to? I was on the phone. Do you know Kevin Love?
Yeah.
Kevin Love.
Big fan.
Kevin Love is one of my guys forever. Love him to death. He's godfather to my little guy, Zane.
Wow.
He's super close to all my kids. And like, sometimes I'll text him. I'll say, hey, it's, you know, my middle son is Jack. I'll say, hey, Jack's birthday. And he just let you know. And he goes, dude, I'm way ahead of you. And it's like, he's that guy. Like, I just love him. And we were having this conversation and something came up about some people you get around and they're just, everything is negative. And yeah, like, I get it. There are problems, whatever. And Kevin and I together, we were like, life is so good. Like, work hard, enjoy the people you're around, take care of your body, have some fun, loosen up when you can, and laugh. I mean, and oh, that's why don't you get one of those things that says live, laugh, love? Yeah, why don't you fuck off? I'm having way more fun than you every single day because of my mindset. Because I'm not going to get up and get upset. I'm not going to get up and get stressed. I was talking to, I'm going to just keep name dropping for you. I was talking to Jillian Michaels the other day, and she said, what's one thing in the fitness industry that just pisses you off? And I said, nothing. Like, I can't, I just can't afford to get wound up and spend energy on something. Like, yes, anybody who's a zealot one way or another, whether it's one form of training, one diet, one supplement, and that's fatiguing. But pissed off? Nah, I'm not getting pissed off. I'm not getting pissed off in traffic. I'm not getting pissed off at somebody on Instagram. I'm not getting pissed off. Nope. Life is way too good, man. And you should look around and realize how good it is. Everybody should, because there's a lot of good. It's, you know, the hamstring. I could sit there, oh, the hamstring. Okay, I got another hamstring. It'll grow back. It'll get better. I'll heal, right? And what can I do? I went into the gym the next day. What can I do? I got on every piece of equipment. Ow. Nope. Oh, wait, here. If I modify the stride on this, I can do this. And then I got a message from Matt, the guy who created Sand Dune Stepper. And he's like, try doing movement on the Sand Dune Stepper barefoot, and it'll help you with lymphatic drainage. And so I started doing that. I used all the Therabody products. I got on these rollers, the percussive devices. I stretched. I did my strength stuff, and it comes back. But you're not going to let an injury define you, especially when it's so small in comparison to what other people go through. People go through legit crazy hardships and injuries and just, I mean, it's amazing what people can come back from. So your little injury, not interesting. That's how I talk to myself. That's my self-talk.
Sounds healthy. Sounds on point. Sounds like we could all use a bit more positive self-talk, because we are capable. You are a testament to it. You shared incredible insights today. Please let the audience know where they can keep up with your journey.
You can find me on Gunner Fitness on Instagram. That's it. And we're going to launch an app called Common Ground in the next month or so. So that's where we are. We're out there. We're just grinding. Look, everybody's working. I get texts from trainers and they say, you know, I want to do this or you're doing that. And I go, dude, we're all out here just working. And that's exactly where we're supposed to be. You are supposed to be out here working. No one owes you shit. You are not supposed to be sitting at home eating, you know, waiting for somebody to die and leave you money. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to work, and your work will have a different yield success-wise, be it financial, be it an inner reward, be it the relationships you cultivate in the workplace. You're going to get something out of it. And if you don't, then move on, get another job. My middle son is working now in Dallas. And I said to him, dude, if you're not happy, bounce out. Like, go. But if you're okay with it, find what you love there. I'm not saying fall in love, but meet somebody cool. Find somebody that you can do something with outside the office. Explore different interests. Like, it doesn't all have to just be the work. The work is always going to be there. And I think the same with trainers. When I first started with the training, I don't think I invested enough in the other trainers in the gym. Maybe the first year I was there, I was a little standoffish, a little elitist. I thought, if I thought I was better, but I was like, I don't want to talk to these people. And then over time, I thought, I'm in this gym 10, 12, 15 hours every day. I got to like loosen up. And I just started inviting people to lunch or come over to the house for a beer. Let's watch a game. And then I realized, so many things in my life tie back, and I tell my wife this, directly to the gym. And there's a line, and I never saw the show Jersey Shore, but there's a line like, gym is life, right? And I said to my wife, gym is life. Look at everything we have, everybody we know. It's all like 3 degrees of separation from the gym. My training, who I met there, their wife knew a lady who did your hair, and then you met her sister who is at the same school with the kids, and now the kids are friends. It's all connected to the gym. And that's a good thing. I think that's cool. And I think when you pull back and you recognize that you just embrace it, lean into it. Don't try to be standoffish. That was a young me. And I think I recovered everything from that. I don't think I blew it, but it was so much more fun when you go in, like, it's going to be fun today. Today's going to be fun. Wake up and tell yourself it's going to be fun. Don't tell yourself how much your job sucks. Wake up and have some fun with it. And if it's not, then find another job. There are other jobs out there.
Making the most of every situation, as you have done throughout your career, and setting the example.
You have to, because here's the look, spoiler alert, we're all going to die. So you want to be the guy who died and you're just cranky all the time? My God, it's awful to be around. I don't want to be the guy like, when we're done here, I want to go in and hug my wife and wrestle with my kids. And what are we having for dinner? It's Friday night. I think I have two people tomorrow, and then my son has a soccer game and a basketball game. So it's a light night. Maybe we have a glass of wine. Maybe we watch some silly show with the kids. Maybe we have these little questions at the dinner table. We turn them up, you know, what would be your ideal ice cream sundae? You know, what are the qualities you look for in a friend? And it creates conversation and help flush out vocabulary with the kids. That's the stuff that matters. Your little job. Come on, dude. Come on. Go enjoy your life. Take it while you can, because there are going to be some, there are for sure some shit times coming. It happens to everybody. So you just can't get pulled down by them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gunnar Peterson, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. I probably rambled on too much, but I get fired up when I see that, like, you're out there doing something. You tell me you did 1,000 pull-ups. I was literally thinking, I'm going to tell my other trainer tomorrow, hey, Monday, let's do 1,000 pull-ups. And he's going to go, you know, that's my leg there.
Honestly, the trick for that was the grip. The grip was the game changer. My elbows are a lot better, but my forearms were not, my outer forearm wasn't strong enough to do it like smoothly. I did them all strict. It's all recorded. I'll send you the video. And we raised over $20,000 for an organization called the Friendship Circle. It was a live event. So a lot of witnesses. But it was like, it was one of the craziest experiences of my life. Like, my arm could barely even bend straight after.
Yeah, I've listened to David Goggins talk about it, and Cameron Haynes' son broke his record.
Yeah, he broke it.
What's funny, I used to watch my kids. I had my kids in school in North Carolina for a minute during a strange period of my last marriage. And I used to watch their football practice from the playground that was adjacent to the field. And there was like a set of monkey bars there. And a couple parents would sit up there, a couple moms would read, a couple dads would be on their phones. And I thought, I can't just interact with these people. That's like fake conversation. Nobody's talking to me. So there's nothing I really need to talk about. On the football practice days, I'm going to do a pull-up. One day I did pull-ups, and one day it was zips. And what I did then was sets of 10. And I said, I'll do 10 sets of 10. And then when I listened to David Goggins talk about it, he says sets of 5. And so when you were talking about it, I thought, I'm going to tell my guy Colin, who's great. Big Shane Coaching is his thing on Instagram. I mean, this kid is phenomenal. I'm so lucky to have found this kid here. But if I say that to him, he'll be like, I'm down. And he'll just do it. And he's a little muscle dude, and he's terrific. So that might be our Monday jam. I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do.